Blog Talk Radio.
Because of reliance shall break every chain. Conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again.
Everybody, Brother DeWater, Brother Kaheem, Brother Mahara, y'all on long? Peace to y'all.
I'm here.
Well, I guess the gang's all here.
Yeah, we're going to start some fires today.
Before you get started, Cole, I'd like to say something.
Sure.
What we've been to talk about today is that I know for a fact that no African American or anybody born in the United States here, black, know anything about this subject. This subject deals with secret societies. Every government is a secret society. The Great Seal of the United States of America is the Great Seal of the Illuminati. They use oracles to ask them questions. Those are the Delphite oracles. Every nation of people, I don't give a damn if it's a Muslim country, if it's a Hindu country, everybody consults the oracles. Only the African American and the black people that's born over here, whatever you want to call yourselves over here that's born, don't know a damn thing about the oracles. And you was taught that this was hoodoo, voodoo, and bad knowledge. But everybody, every nation of people has oracles, and I turn you in the hands of Brother Kohen, our teacher.
I want to say peace, blessings, and a long life. My name is Baba Yashabaya Ifago Beluje. He called me Kohen. That's from the Hebrew context. This is a very powerful subject, and I'm going to try to take my time and be as scholarly and academic as possible. Brother Meher, Brother Dewar, we're going to do this the way we did back in the day at the Knesset. We're going to use certain references and information to better solidify and support our argument. For documentation beats conversation, and information moves the nation. This is a very powerful subject, and I want to thank Brother Dewar for inviting me to come on to attempt to shed some light on this. As many Brother Dewar and Brother Mayor know, I've been dealing with the oracles and the art of divining for over 60 years, and I've done extensive research into the subject matter, et cetera, et cetera. So I'd like for you on the line, for all our Bible scholars, Quran scholars, whatever scholar, whatever book you choose to follow, get your book out. But I want Brother Meher to get the old KJV. I know he's got his other books we can go to, and they'll chime in. What I want to do for my Bible scholars, since if the Bible don't support it, you don't believe it. God didn't say that it didn't exist. So let me use the Bible and walk you back to the ancient original origin of the oracles, or how it came to be. First of all, Brother Dewar, Brother Meher.
Yes.
Let's look at the definition of what the word oracles mean, please.
All right, give me a second here. Let me pull it up.
I want you to work my reference table as well as commentary from your expertise. All right. I don't have my readers with me today online.
Here we go.
I can use you and anybody
else.
Yeah,
two types of definition.
Hold on a minute. Anybody else that online may have to have a Bible or take notes. I want you to walk with us through this. Now, I'm hoping I have enough time today to go through this. If not, I'm pretty sure Brother Dewar will schedule a part two. This is introduction to part one. Brother Meher, give us the definition
All right.
of what the word oracles mean.
Okay, so since you said for them to pull out the KJV, we're going to go straight to the KJV Bible Dictionary definition of the word oracle. And they start by saying, among Christians, oracles in the plural denotes the communications, revelations, or messages delivered by God to prophets. In this sense, it is rarely used in the singular, but we say the oracles of God, divine oracles, meaning the scripture. So that's how they've redefined it.
Okay, but let's go back to the
origin. By saying they've limited it, its definition, to only meaning the scriptures. Scriptures is not the oracles. But that's Christianity.
Because the oracles carry scriptures. It don't mean the Bible. It meant whatever the proverbs of the text is in that particular size when it is read. That is the sacred scripture. Now, what we're going to do now, I'm coming from the Encyclopedia Judaica. We understand what the word oracles mean. Okay? There is a word, I want y'all to write this down. The word is Urim Thummim. That's U-R-I-M.
Right.
T-H-U-M-M-I-M. That's one set. The next word is the word P-U-R-I-M. That's another set. And the last one is Lot. L-O-T-S, casting of lots. These are the words you're going to hear in our presentation, and my scholarly brother's going to join in. I'd like to piggyback on what Brother Dewar has said. Most of our people here in this diaspora called America, people of color, you use the zodiac, you use the horoscope, you use the palm readers, you use the tarot cards, And you say you believe in God. Now, what God you believe in? Because all these different systems consult other deities and not the one that you claim is in the Bible. If you're not following the
right.
You claim you follow the Bible and you're Hebrew Israelite or Christian, you won't be Christian believe in praying, but I'm gonna deal with that in a minute.
Okay,
so,
well, I got a definition also for the definition of casting of lots. And, of course,
okay.
It only refers to passages. Yeah, that's correct. It's got passages mostly, as they say, from the Tanakh. Most folks know that word as Old Testament.
Okay,
so it says the Hebrew Bible contains several examples of casting of lots, and here's what they say it means. As a means of determining God's will. And then they go to Leviticus. They go to Leviticus 16:8. God commanded Moses and Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats. And then it's got another verse that says the book of Numbers 26, chapter 26, verse 55. Moses allocated territory to the tribes of Israel according to each tribe's male population. So casting of lots was involved in that. That's
so that
the point
the
they're trying to make.
That is the same thing as oracles. My Christian friends
mm-hmm.
and brothers out there from the New Testament, from the Barat Shah, why do you think that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray? Because before Jesus came on this thing, talking about praying, they didn't do no praying. They did what, Brother Mayor?
Casting of lots.
They went and cast lots, as you know in the story, when it
right.
came to the so-called garment of Jesus. The Romans said they cast lots.
I was ready to comment on that, Cole. And the Romans
yeah, okay,
did what?
Ahead,
they
ahead.
Cast lots. Oh, they cast lots.
Yeah. So even
okay,
even
so
it came
why are
down,
they doing that?
Right. It came down to Judas Iscariot. They cast lots on what to do with him. See? So casting of lot or divining, the word is divining. To divine, to determine what is God's will for man, or how to communicate with it. Brother Meher.
Yes.
Go to Zephaniah 3:9.
Okay.
Sisters and brothers out there in radio land, write these scriptures down and ask your preacher how he feel about it, because this is what God was telling the people. You claim before we the chosen people. So if God's talking to his chosen, giving them certain direction to God how to communicate with him, the God of the Bible, then you need to check yourself. Zephaniah 3:9.
Give me a second here. Let me find it first.
I'm taking my time, Brother
Walker. Well, let me say something that you said. See, the disciples had never heard of praying, so they say, "Well, how do we pray?" And
yeah.
he told them, "Don't pray but one prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, I be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom." He gave you the prayer that you're supposed to pray. Just that one prayer. And it tells you in the same scripture, Matthew the 6th chapter, it tells you that don't ask God for anything. And every time I hear you praying in the church house as a Christian, you asking God for something.
You begging or crying out for something. Okay? Brother Mayor?
Yeah, give me a second. I'm working on it. Hold on.
I need you to
go up here
track.
And pull it this way.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
they're trying to record this program. I need you to backtrack to where we got started and read some of those definitions of oracles and some things you said prior to where we are now to bring us back up. But I'll wait when you get that done, okay?
Yeah, hold on. I'm getting your Zephaniah 3:9 right now.
Okay. And sister and brother, please allow me to take my time and do this. And if Brother Noir, if I have to come back a second time, I will. But
Zephaniah 3:9 say, "Forbid when I turn to the people a pure language, and that
uh-huh.
they may
right.
all call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one constant."
This refers back to the same thing Brother Mayer read. Now, Brother Mayer, go back and read that definition
yeah.
again and see it on that link up to what you just read, because this is the language that the God of the Bible is telling the so-called children of Israel. If you want to talk to me, you got to talk to me how? Through the oracles of the order divine from the E-part or from casting of lots or through preem. You can't pray. You don't pray. You consult me through this way.
Right. And hold on a second. Let's be perfectly clear about the word that we're using, okay? The word pray is not a Hebrew word. It's not.
No.
Its concept and what it's rooted in is not in the Tanakh. We don't have a word that even means what the English word pray means.
Okay.
Because at the beginning of the day, in the book of Shemot, Exodus, how did he say he was talking to Moses? He said, face to face, mouth to mouth, as a man speaketh unto a friend.
Right. When it comes
so
to communicating,
that's not a prayer. That's communication, conversation. Now,
conversation.
And Shemot's I believe it's 24, verses 9, 10, and 11. What do you got going on over there? You've got Moses, Aaron, and Aaron's two sons, okay? They, with their eyes, Ra'u, who? Elohe, okay? It says they saw him.
Yeah.
And they're communicating with him, and the elders. That's what it says.
Okay,
so when you read down through those verses, where is there somebody praying?
No.
Exactly.
Let me go
show
back
me
and
where
reconnect.
That is.
So in order to communicate with the divine now, you can't see the energy face to face. The system of is through the art of or through the oracles or through the art of divine and communicating that way. Okay.
Right.
Brother DeWall mentioned about the Delphi oracles. That's how the Greeks consulted their deities and their energies and their power base through the Delphi oracles. Every nation should have a way to communicate with their creator or their source.
Right. Now, let's get back to something because they no longer saw them. Right. So let's look at the definition of the ephod, because the ephod is coming in that's giving them an ability to also do something. So it says an ephod was an artifact and an object to be revered in ancient Israel culture, and was closely connected with oracular practices and priestly ritual.
Right.
So when you say ritual, you're talking about words of invocation. That's what you're doing. They're conjuring something, okay? It says, and in the books of Samuel and the books of Chronicles, David is described as wearing an ephod when dancing in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant also was a communication device, too, because he said that what they communicated through the two cherubim that was mounted on the top of it. So, again, you've got somebody communicating. Where's everybody else? Where's somebody bowing down and praying to the Ark of the Covenant? Nowhere to be found. Nothing that you see with your eyes is a God for you.
Because while you're on your knees praying to something you don't see, they consult the oracles in the back room, and they divine, and they cast lots to get answers. Let me continue, if I may. So with this being said, Zephaniah 3:9 says there's a language. That language is called through the oracles. It's through, and I'll carry it through the antique. I'll get to the answer to the oldest form of communication, but let me deal with the Bible, because the Bible, everybody has the Bible, and it is the number one bestseller on the market, the less read and the lesser understood. So let me use my 6.9 Christian friends who run around praying, let you know that while you ain't getting no results because you're going about it the wrong way. There is a system that was put in place many years ago by the God of the Bible to the children of Israel by how to communicate. But let me hear. For those people that follow the Barat of Shah, better known New Testament, go to Romans chapter 3, verse 2 for me, please, for you New Testament. Well, that ain't a New Testament. Let's see what the New Testament say about it. We talked about what happened with casting of lots of Jesus' robe. Let's see what in Romans 3 and 2 has to say.
3 and 2? Okay. Now, I'm going to start at verse 1, of course. And it says, when the advantage, he says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Huh?
Uh-huh.
Okay. It says, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God.
Wait a minute.
That's
unto
verse 2.
Committed what? The oracles of God.
It says much. Yeah, somebody, because somebody asked, what advantages have the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? And then somebody said, much every way. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God.
And this goes back, you said back in the book of Smoke, back in Exodus, where the rule was given to them, what to do and how to go about doing it, and also
right.
where the Urim and the Theorem, which was the tool that was used to do this communicating with. It's a language. People now
right.
say
now
because
this.
What they did, when the European went in and took over
right.
the Christian church, they took all of these tools out so the common man would not have a way to
right.
depend, go out there
right.
to call out there willy-nilly.
Now
that's
check out the next two verses. The next two verses edify what you're saying. This is a result of us not having it. Right. This
okay,
is a result of us not having it.
That's why 99% of the people that so-called practicing these very religions, you operate a thing called permissive will, not divine will. When you operate in the divine,
right.
you're using the oracles to communicate with the higher power.
Right.
I want that to soak in. So you run around and you say, that's why you can't, you think you're getting answers, but you're not getting no answers. What I would like for Brother Meher to do is go to the book of 1 Samuel. And I want to give you an incident. 1
right.
Samuel chapter 30, and this is where King David got in trouble.
Right.
Got
right,
in
right.
trouble.
But hold on. I wanted, since you was in Romans, I wanted to give you 3:3 and 3:4 because it addresses exactly what you say. What happens when you don't use the things committed by God? Because they're talking about it right here in the same book. So 3:3 continues, says, okay, first, you just to refresh everybody, verse 2, much every way, chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now watch what it says next. It says, what if some did not believe? It says, shall they unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Watch this. Here's the next verse. It says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written. You see what it's saying? That thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. You see this? We still going to be held to account for the stuff committed to us. That's the point. I get it. I get it. That's why I wanted to read that, because it's edifying. It's like, look, man, you over here, you in this church, you doing whatever you're doing, right? You're not doing what he commanded you to do because he committed something to you. And it's like, okay, so singing these songs and playing this, that, no, they ain't going to get it with him. As
no.
far as he's concerned, you're creating a disturbance, and you might be arrested for that. What you're doing in church today, he never told you to do that. Right.
The reason the world is in jail because they broke away from the source, and you're going about it in the wrong way. You're not communicating with the divine. What you're
yeah,
communicating
yeah,
with,
we're just making
noise.
You're
following the zodiac.
So,
you are now connecting with Zeus and all those Zeke gods and theologies and astrologies and all
right.
that. You're following
right.
the wrong side. But let me get up on the zodiac because
okay.
It's
so First Samuel's what?
First Samuel. Chapter 30, and I want you to read those first 9 verses. And what I want to let people know that here, if ever been a time a man needs to know how to pray, is now. King David is now in trouble. What took place, and let's see what happened. And what he pray or do he consult? But man, I want you
okay,
to read
so
that.
First
I'm going to
Samuel,
let you do that, and then we'll come
Samuel,
back. All
right. Right. First Samuel, chapter 30.
Psalm at verse 1. Let's set the stage.
Okay, here we go. We got it. It says, and it came to pass, and it came to pass. This is 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1.
Yeah, 1 through 9.
Okay, it says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. It says, next verse, and have taken the women captives that were therein, They slew not any. They slew not any. They says either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. David, it says, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives.
Mm-hmm.
Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until there were no more power to weep.
They're mourning David, because they lost their family, and the town is burned. Now, David is the king.
Right.
He's in trouble.
Right.
Now, when people get in trouble, who they turn on? They turn on the president or the emperor. They say, well, we got to kill this dude because he done messed us up. So David is now in trouble with the people. Will you read?
Right. And David's two wives were taken captive.
Mm-hmm.
Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nahal, the Carmelite.
Okay.
David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him.
They said, we're going to kill
because,
you because we done went out here following your orders. We done lost our family.
Right.
Listen to what you got to say. I like that stuff they did in Washington, D.C., fought a Trump down to D.C. is going to storm the Capitol. So now then when it gets down to finally, you can't do it now. Now we're going to kill you, King.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we need to pray. I'm praying now, right? But let's see what David do.
Because
people has conspired to kill him. What did he do? Read.
It says, because of the soul of all of the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Come on.
And David said to Abithar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod.
And Abithar
brought thither the ephod to David.
Yeah. So David said, bring me that breastplate. Bring me the tools so I can what? Consult. I got to get some answers. He ain't praying. He ain't dying saying, oh, God of Israel, come help us. No. I need a quick answer now. They finna kill me. They finna go out and stone me to death. I need an answer now. Not tomorrow, not next week. I need an answer now. That's why he had to go and get an instant answer from the divination system.
Right. And it says, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Right.
So there's been a time to pray. Why did David pray, or why did he consult through the ephod? Remember, the ephod carried the Urim and Thummim. What's the Urim
and
Thummim?
And that was the yes and no stones.
The yes and no stones, right. But these stones were not just stones. They were communication devices. And so he says, it wasn't just two, it was four, because the four stones represent the four cardinal points. I'll carry you forward right now. Let's look at this. They said the Urim Thummim was a priestly device for obtaining oracles on the high priest ephod, like breastplate.
Explain how the ephod is made and how you would read the ephod.
Well, see, that would take a little bit more time. Remember, Carmen, where they laid it out, they said these ephod was made of a certain fabric and it had 12 stones in it. Each one of these 12 stones represented the so-called 12 tribes of Israel. And these stones, they would light up and they would energize the thing that's inside the breastplate, was inside the pocket in the breastplate that the ephod was carrying in. These things kept the energy going, and they was taught how to read them. Now, most folks don't know this, but as I studied with the Kabbalistic and the rabbis in the Book of Psalms, Brother Meher.
Yeah.
Go to the Book of Psalms, 119. I'm going to give them a short lesson on how to read the ephod.
Okay. Psalms 119, where are we going?
Psalms 119. We're going to begin with those 22 verses. These 22 verses are part of the Pentateuch of scriptures they use when they divine, because certain letters would come up, of the 22 letters would come up when they divine, and these letters would give them the storyline, or would give them the Pentateuch of proverbs, or the answer to their problems. Hold on a minute.
Now, Cohen, let me add something to that. In the 119th Psalm, you will see above that 119th Psalm, you see a word called Aleph, and then you'll see a little word over here, a sign of how Aleph is made. You see Aleph, Bay, Gimel, Him, Kim, Hey, Wazai, Kretek, Y'all. But each one of those Psalms, you'll see Dalet. That little sign and symbol is a language. You can only divine in this language.
Right.
I want to say that. You had to use a certain language. You couldn't use this language that we speak in. You had to use this language with this tool. That's what
okay,
we know.
One of the tools they use, for people don't realize, beloved brothers and sisters, that the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms do not belong in the Bible. It comes from a thing called the Book of Numbers and Letters, out of the occult section of the ancient text. So when I'm going, because I'm going to show you a simple way to look at it, and all Bibles got it in it, and I got Brother Mahare on it. Brother Mahare, we're going to go through the 22 letters of the alphabet, and under each one of those verses, it's 8 verses under each letter. Ashe?
Yeah, which means we don't have enough time in this show to read it, because to go through all the letters,
let's go through about 10
it's
going to
be 176 verses.
Okay. That 176
so we don't have enough time
verses.
In the show to do 176 verses for Psalms 119.
We're going to do the first 8 or the first 10. Let's do that now. What's the first letter of that alphabet?
Okay. Aleph. Right.
On the
and then it says,
verses, right?
Right. And then
read
it
the
says,
first verse and blessed, go to the next one.
Right. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law, who walk in the law of the Lord.
Right.
Blessed are they
that
keep his testimonies. That's Aleph.
Okay. The next one.
Okay. It's Beit. Okay. Beit says, yeah, B. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Okay, so that's how. Yeah, we could actually do all 22 letters. We just can't read all full 8 verses for all the letters because there's too many verses for that.
For a letter, come on.
But we can read the first. We can read the first verse for each letter.
Yeah, come on with it. Just do it just like that.
Okay, so Gimel, G. It says, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. That's Gimel.
Mm-hmm.
Dalet, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quickest thou me according to thy word.
Next one.
The next letter is Hey, H. It says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end.
And many times
the next letter is
consulting with the client. If we don't follow, this what they're instructing would be give them how to deal with their issues. Next verse, the next one, Brother Mayer.
Wav, the letter Wav. It says, which is W. It says, let thy mercies come unto me, also come unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Next letter is Z, Zion. It says, Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next letter is the KH sound, Chet. Mm-hmm. It says, thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words.
Mm-hmm.
T for Tet. It says,
mm-hmm.
thou hast dwelt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word.
Mm-hmm.
Next one is the letter Y, Yod.
Yod.
Now, mind you, it means hand. Yod means hand. And it says,
mm-hmm.
thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments.
And when this comes up, it deals with a man going through the state of to protect him from insanity, mind going crazy. So they would offer, they would read this, and they would, the man is going through mental problems. So he needs a hand to work on him, to fashion his mind, to give me peace. And all
right.
of this works in conjunction with that. There's a book called The Power of the Psalms, and it works off of these scriptures in the Proverbs and the Psalms, and you use from the Epon. Now, go back to what you said earlier about when the God of Israel gave them the rules how to use the Epon. What was the Epon used for in concern through the oracles? The oracles is actually the scriptures. Let me slow down. The oracles is actually the scriptures that answer the question to whatever pattern comes up when the Urim theorem is proved.
Right.
For instance, on occasion, the term Epon is used for reference to the Urim oracles associated with 1 Samuel 14, chapter verse 3 through 13. It is also used when deciding certain problems or situations. Someone's been put on trial for a problem or been charged with a crime. They would throw the Epon to find it guilty or not guilty.
Right.
Oracles was a major part of the culture of the people because it was given to them by who? By their God. Now, what God
right.
gave you oracles?
Yeah.
What oracles are you following? Because you must have a way to communicate with your source. When you came to this world from the Urim, from another realm to this realm, you came with divine instructions. And if you notice, isn't it ironic? Everybody tell a lie, we're all serving the same deity, but we're not. I'm going to say that again.
What?
We are not
what?
All serving the same deity. Because how could you say that the God has that he has no respected person if one group is better than another group? Why
right.
is this group divinely favored above everybody else? Why they be given a certain rules above everybody else? Give me answers.
You know,
three
and look
nine,
at this. And look at the statement. Look at the statement that was all made throughout the Tanakh, especially when they're all in quote unquote Sinai. He keeps
yeah.
saying, "Y'all know me." He said, "Y'all saw me. You heard me. You know what I'm about. You saw me cut down your enemies. You saw me give you blessings. You saw all of this yourselves."
Yeah.
It doesn't require a prayer or a lecture. He says, y'all already know. And you know, he says, with him, there was no other strange deities with him. He,
right.
lets you know, he said all of that stuff, and now we've lost our minds.
Okay.
We're
go
doing
to,
everything that he told us not to do. That's what we're doing right now.
Go to Amos 3 and 9.
Coin?
Yes.
The Christian Church, which is the Roman Catholic Church, they have
right.
oracles. They
yeah,
didn't
sure
give
do.
The Protestant Church the oracles to Christianity. Now, the Pope, he got the oracles, and he know what oracles they use, more than likely the Delphite oracles. But
because
the Christian
Church, it is Greek,
they
about the Greek origin and their deities.
Yeah. See, every nation of people has its God. Every God has its oracles.
And its people.
And its people, its priesthood, its temples, its traditions, its rituals, and all of this. Every nation of people. Every nation
reason
of people.
Because everybody thinks we're all serving the same God. That is the biggest lie I've been told. Because if that's the case, if we're serving the God in the Bible, then this God in the Bible he's a separatist. He deal with only one group of people. And he keeps saying, if my people that are called by my name,
right.
I place you above all this. Read me Amos 3 and 9. I know they ain't gonna like this, but this you're talking about the oracles, knowing how to communicate
so
with your.
Amos 3 and 9 says, published in the palaces of Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountain of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. No, it didn't say nothing about that. It just,
no,
it's
Amos 3 and 9.
Even the people who are oppressed. Huh?
No, Amos 3 and 9.
Yeah, that's Amos 3 and 9. I'm in Amos 3 and 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. That's what I just read.
Maybe it's Amos. No, he said, I told you about all nations.
Hold on.
I'm thinking Amos 3 and 9 said, I told you about. I've got something that I got to double check, but I'm pretty sure, because in Surah Al-Baqarah, second of the Kaf, 5, verse 43, it makes a statement.
Yeah, I can get that in a second if you want me to get that too. Hold on. I'm seeing here. Can you work together? Can we be agreed?
In the book, I think it was 3 and 9, it says that I told you about all nations.
No, that's not Amos 3 and 9, because Amos 3 and 9 said, I'm looking at the verses before, chapter 3, verse 9, and after.
Because he talks about chosen above all nations.
Yeah, I know that verse you're saying, but it's not showing up here.
Well, type it in the searches, and because it's been so long since I've done this, the water drug me out of the closet, and a lot of my stuff is a little cloudy, but I do know in the book of Amos it might be. I know it's in Amos because I told you.
Oh, no. It's Amos. It's Amos verse 2. It's 3. It's 3. It says, hear this word, what the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all of the families of the earth.
Therefore, what verse is that?
I will punish you for all of your iniquities.
Right. What verse is that, Brother Mayor?
That was verse 2.
Amos 3 and 2?
You only have I known.
Nobody else.
That's 3-2. 3-2.
And
that's what
this
whole Tanakh,
Amos, right?
This whole Tanakh is about that. And so that's why you can see when they invented the New Testament.
They're talking about another people that ain't none of you.
Right. As a matter of fact, let me go ahead and grab the Quran down off the shelf.
Get the Quran and go to Surah Al-Baqarah 43 of the count of verse 43, if you don't mind.
Yep, hold on.
You got to know what you're serving in order to get results. Otherwise, you're living in what you're not living in reality.
Okay, now look at this. I'm ready to read, and of course, this is throughout the Quran.
Okay.
And this is actually, in my book, it's listed as verse, it's chapter 2, verse 41. It says, O children of Israel.
I'm not trying to offend any of my Muslim brothers, but how can you say
no, this has nothing to do with offending them.
Mm-hmm. Tell you, he's talking about the children of Israel.
Right.
So
it says, O children of Israel, remember my favors which I bestowed upon you, and fulfill your covenant with me. I will fulfill my covenant with you, and me alone should you fear. Okay, now let me get to the part where it says, and believe in what I have sent, which fulfills that which is with you, and be not the first to disbelieve therein, and barter not my signs for a sultry price, and take protection in me alone. And confound not truth with falsehood, nor hide the truth knowingly.
So this is in the Quran, right?
Yeah.
So,
in here a few times. 48, verse 48 says, O children of Israel, remember my favors which I bestowed upon you, and that I exalted you above the peoples.
So here we go. Listen.
See, so there's another verse. Yeah.
So we're back to the oracles. So this is the same God that gave power to those children above everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That rang a bell.
Right.
So what are they about? Who are they talking to? So I told you we don't have enough time for this. But I'm going to get through part
right.
of both of it. And this,
well, see,
so when you deal
right.
with We're not all serving the same deity or the same source.
And let me make a point about the fact that you made me go to the Quran, because there's a couple of hidden things that's edifying what you're going to say. First of all, in the Quran, the word Torah is mentioned 18 times, and it lets you know that the Torah was given to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
The oracles and what we're supposed to be doing is found within the confounds of the Torah. That means instructions.
Right.
And it says that that is the criteria in another chapter called Furqan in the Quran. That is the criteria to judge between good and bad. It says it. And you are to eat all that have been already made lawful, not some Islamic law talking about what's lawful. There's no such thing as the Islamic law. They made all that stuff up after we were overthrown. So all the stuff they got with the seasons, everything pulled out, they don't do divining, except for the tops of the government heads, like Brother Dwyer keeps saying. Every government, you mentioned it too, is a secret order. All of them. And they have their consultants. They call them consultants in America. They have the consultants that pay them top dollar to come and tell them what's going on with the economics and everything else. They pay these people serious money to come in and see them.
To come in and consult. And I have a copy of the Arabic, of the Islamic system of divination, which goes back to the ancient ephod corpus of divining from ephodism. Because they have learned a lot of things. When they went into the other world's conquering, they used the system to overpower the people and know how to do their business.
Yeah.
So,
well, the other story called that is also coming out is the fact that you're talking about – Sorry.
But to let people know that this thing is deep and you're thinking is this is a hell of a topic the war brought on. And it should make you go back and examine, are you really following what you say you believe? Or you're a convert? What's your responsibility if you agree to leave your God to serve somebody else's?
Right, and see what? Let me ask you a question, Cole, so we can properly fix some of the geography of the people who were doing these divining and oracles and as such. Where do watermelons grow?
You know that.
And who's known for eating them back in history? Watermelons, and what kind of people are we talking about with eating watermelons?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody brown like us, right?
Go ahead. What people don't realize is that the God of the Bible ain't named Jesus Christ, because Psalm 6:4 clearly tell you that sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that ride upon the heavens by his name. And they got J-A-H, that was translated out of I-A-H, which was translated out of Y-A-H. Once it become Y-A-H, it ain't his name, it's her name.
I'm glad you said, because Brother Mayer, I got to do this.
Yeah.
So a lot of folks are finna choke, man. They finna choke, Brother Mayer. They finna choke. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1 and the first verses. I want you to break down that first word, the first word.
Yeah, you remember we talked about the grammar of how they wrote this versus how it actually comes out in the Hebrew. But we want to read the way most people know it first, because they all hung up on this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is the KJV version.
Right.
It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's what it says. That's what they call verse 1. Which doesn't translate into what the English we just read.
The English we just read don't
match what you just said in Hebrew.
No, in your interlinear, when you break it down from the English to the Hebrew, it says the creative breath made the heavens and the earth.
Yeah, but it also created the ones you call the mighty ones, rulers, and the kings, which is the Elohim word.
So the next thing you look at,
some stuff up in the translation.
A feminine noun, personal, proper singular noun, feminine. A calling
right.
to
so
strong
what happened
Gregorian.
Is Bereshit. Bereshit is how that verse starts. That's plural.
7307 in the Strong Concordance?
Right, but that's a plural word from Reshi. So Bereshit,
yeah.
Plural, meaning beginning, starts. Then you have the verb bara. That's masculine verb. The principle is feminine, but someone masculine is doing the is putting forth the feminine principle. And
go
you know that
to,
because that's a general verb that can be used for anybody and anything, even plural.
Okay, I got to do this. With that being said, go to Proverbs 8 and 22, read briefly, please. 8 and 1 to verify who's talking, 8:22 to clarify the connection. We're talking about the oracles. Hope y'all writing this stuff down, because y'all come back to watch. I probably can't remember half this stuff.
Proverbs 8 and 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways before his works of old.
It's about the feminine and masculine being possessed. That the master took on and took out, it took the feminine into possession. That was a marriage.
Right.
That was a marriage of a singular to a plural that gives you duality. Later on, it says down in verse 8 and 22, going around to verse 24, 25. What did it say, Brother DeWa?
8 and 24?
Yeah.
It says, when there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountain aboard with waters, before the mountains that themselves, before the hills was I brought forth. But as yet we have not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the high parts of the dust of the world. When we prepared the heavens, I was there. When we set a compass upon the face of the depths, when we established the clouds above all, we straightened the fountains of depth. When we give to the sea its decree, and the water should not pass its commandment. When we appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him
daily.
Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoice always before him.
And they are not the same, but it was separate entities coming together. Is that right?
Right.
Right.
And go back to Genesis 1:1 again. So here's the way to properly read what you just said in Hebrew. Bereshit bara Elohim. Stop. Don't get to the heaven and the earth part yet. So the principle created the them, the Elohim. And that word don't mean gods. It means mighty ones, rulers, and judges, masculine and feminine. That's
what
it's at.
I mean.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the same word.
That's power.
So it means
that's
mighty
power.
Ones, rulers, and judges. Mighty
power.
Ones. So that's who's talking to Moses.
Right.
It says, so Moses,
now
and then what does it say in Deuteronomy?
We've got a couple of minutes, but we run out of time.
Right. What does it say in Deuteronomy?
Original,
it says, Elohim. Right. Go ahead.
No, let's go back to the opening statement to wrap this up, Brother Mahar, because I don't want
right.
people to go off and lose, because right now they hear this bubbling.
Most people know this phrase,
oracles.
God of gods. Everlasting of everlasting. That's not what that's saying. It is that Elohei word. It is Elohei ha Elohim.
Yes.
So they're telling you they got a ruler over them, but they were made by that principle that started with the feminine verb in Genesis 1:1. Better speak bara Elohim. Stop. You have to stop. That's proper grammar right there to start. If they're telling you a higher power made them.
So,
and then they came and they gave us orders.
Sweet guy, Brother Mayor. Let's go back. We got about 4 or 5 minutes. Let's go back to the opening when we came on. And the definition of oracles and casting of lots. I'm putting it in your hand. Let's get that to them now.
Okay. So, oracles, hold on. I still have it right here. Definition of oracles says, and, of course, they use the word Christian, but we got to take out what they say is the scriptures. But, no, you're doing something. It says, among Christians, oracles in the plural denotes the communications, revelations, or messages delivered by God to prophets. Okay? It says, in this sense, it is rarely used in the singular. Right? So it says, but we say the oracles of God, divine oracles. Now, go to casting of lots. It says the Hebrew Bible contains several examples of the casting of lots as a means of determining God's will. And that's it in a nutshell. And the ephod, Right, but if they're telling you what the overall thing is, an ephod was an artifact of an object to be revered in ancient Israel culture, Israelite culture, and was closely connected with the oracular practices and priestly ritual.
Right.
So there's your three pieces.
They did nothing that was consulting.
So we
So,
Cole, we're going to have to do part two on this. Can you come back next week or you want to let me know?
Yeah.
This thing is deeper than what y'all think it is. And that's why we're in the United States. Because there are people consulting the oracles, but black folks don't know what to consult. They're chasing an illusion. They're chasing a false illusion.
Yeah, and they don't.
Reality, that's not their reality. It's
and they told them
reality.
That the Alahayim is not even real. So here it is. You got Genesis 1:1. Better see what Elohim. Stop. And then there's the objects to point to that the Elohim was responsible for doing. What did the Elohim do? They made the sky and they made the earth. And it says et hashamayim wa et haaretz. The soil you're standing on.
Okay. I just want to
get $10.
So
make a comment.
Right. Go ahead.
Brother Drew. I heard a voice in the background.
Oh, you hear somebody talking? Hold on, let me check. I don't know how they're talking. Let's see the hack through. Let's see.
Yeah, they can.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much time we got left, but
we got three minutes, bro.
Okay. So what I want to do now is just say so you'll know that this is backed by also by the New Testament in Romans chapter 3, as Brother Behaz read, also in the book of Exodus, in the book of Samuel. And we gave you an example of when a man's in trouble about to lose his life. He ain't praying. He consults his God to get answers. My question now, what God are you consulting? How are you consulting? Because praying ain't it.
No, and that word, we don't have a Hebrew word equivalent for it, and not even an Arabic word. Although they're using that word,
they
changed everything up after these writings showed up. Yeah,
I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna make somebody mad. How you gonna get rid of Corona when you don't know how to construct Corona?
Yeah,
because Corona is a deity, is an entity. So you call it a virus, but nothing comes in the world without a spirit attached to it. How do you consult that spirit to stop it doing what it's doing? Because every time you do something, it evolves to the next level.
Right.
So you and
what do they tell you? If you don't get down with this program and follow the directions, what they want you to do, then they're telling you, how are they making their predictions? Well, we're predicting that in another 3 months, because the people seem to don't get what we're trying to push on them, there's going to be new variants. Wait a minute. So you always have the master entity. You learn this when you mess with the Necronomicon, when you call on the spirits of the dead. You got the chief demon, and then underneath that chief demon, they are subordinates. And those subordinates also have names of their own. And that chief demon for that particular thing gives orders to go do something else. And people think this stuff ain't real. They've been whipping it on you.
Let them keep on playing. Brother DeWar, I want to say more due pay to you for asking me to come on your program. I hope I said something that was edifying. I had to carry it back to the old Knesset where we did it back over there on Keith.
Right.
And when we all was there in our great think tank, I want to thank my brother Meher, one of my co-scholars there, for working with us on this, and I'm doing my best to try to stay as slow and talk as slow as I could, so I had to keep finding my train of thought. But anyway, I want to say once again, thank you for allowing me to come on. And if you want me to come back for part 2, I'll do that based on what our ancestors will feel about it. But right now it's in your hand, Brother DeWar.
Yeah, well, just going to say the Creoles, and we ready to close up.
I will sit calmly upon the throne in the temple of my own body between the two great pillars of positive and negative vibrations, bouncing them to the point where I can radiate through my temple of light to all whom I contact the wonderful peace, pause, power, wisdom, love, and harmony of our ancestors, for our ancestors are the anthropic fermentation of the entire cosmos. Ashe, ashe, asheo. Modupe. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.